In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Bear with me a little in moving. I was up in Edinburgh up until sort of March time there, and coming that 400 or so miles south, I seemed to be suffering more keenly from hay fever. So there's a bit of eye streaming and kind of voice coming going a bit this morning. But I had some Puritan, so all will be well. And we'll get to the end of the service and all will be well. All manner of things will be well, as Julian of Norwich said. So two really interesting readings this morning. Well, in the beginning of that, you know, I had a fantastic Professor Templeton at Edinburgh, New College is where I was formed for ministry. And he said, you know, Acts is the spiritual iron brew of the church. Events of Easter have come and gone. Those terrible events of Good Friday, Holy Saturday, into the incredible news. He's alive. Jesus is alive. And that group of people who were absolutely crestfallen, downhearted, bereaved, at the end of themselves, are transformed in minutes. They're transformed so quickly into what? Wow! He promised this. It's true. It's real. And this news, this ferment starts to fizzle. We're just getting beyond the bounds of Pentecost when the Spirit comes. And that sense of the new thing that God is doing in the world is starting to fizz around the kind of Middle East, up into the other parts of kind of what we would call modern Europe, Turkey and beyond. And that's where the story takes place, in the town of Joppa, just further up the seashore from Jerusalem at the coast, Tel Aviv, up heading up that way towards Tel Aviv, way up the shore there. That's where the story takes place today, where there are a group of Christian people already. That's how quickly the news had gone, the message had gone. And we're in that place with a woman called Dorcas, or Tabitha. Dorcas, the Greek version of Tabitha, the Aramaic, which means the gazelle. Wow. Full of energy, full of life, someone who's out there kind of supporting others, caring for others. And it's almost as though the story just glosses over. Dorcas dies, very clearly dies in the story. She's been washed, prepared for burial. They say, call Peter, bring him along. It will change everything. And Peter comes, and in the story he prays, Tabitha, get up. Talitha cum, you'll remember an echo of Jesus' words to the little girl in the Bible stories, the scripture stories further down, the gospel stories. Talitha cum, get up. And Dorcas is made well. Dorcas, boom, springs back to life and everything changes. It's, oh, goodness, wow, you just kind of, oh, you need it, oh, yeah, this happened, oh, goodness, wow. Yeah, if that were to be a reality of today, we go, we pray, boom, suddenly everything changed. That's the power of the new church. That's the power of God at work in its time beyond. And I'll come back to this story in a minute. And then, bookended by that sense of revelation. This is a vision given to John of Patmos as he's incarcerated in prison on an island for his faith, the persecutions of the church. And this incredible vision is given to him, which is very, very difficult to understand, very difficult to interpret. But what is clear is that it's fine. All is well. The faithful, they're fine. They're in God's hands. They're safe. All is well. They don't hunger. They don't thirst. They're content. They're peaceful. And every tear will be wiped away from their eye. There is no more death. There is no more suffering. They've gone through the veil into the blessed peacefulness of God's glory and God's bounty. And that's a tremendous word of encouragement when you've lost someone. It's a tremendous word of encouragement in this life which is difficult and full of suffering and full of pain and heartache and more, that all will be well. In the end, all is well. God is with us and all things will be well. Two incredible stories that bookend some of our thoughts today. I wonder if you've ever experienced what it feels like to be marginalized for something that isn't your fault. You've done nothing, but you feel marginalized, cold-shouldered, just a bit of an outsider, just a bit underappreciated, not included. Perhaps because of your age, or the color of your skin, or your gender, or where you live, or how your brain is wired, or maybe an accent that left you in a different way or another way. Those things that people start to pick on and push us to the margins on. In the story we read today, Dorcas is doing an incredible job. She's looking after the widows of a community in Joppa. The women we meet in the passage today, that's how exactly they would feel: marginalized, on the edge, unsure, afraid, not sure what life was going to bring, because the people who protected them, their husbands and others, had gone. They were left alone, on their own. They'd clubbed together, joined together with Dorcas there to support them, and the community, the Christian community around them. That incredible biblical injunction, look after the widows and the orphans, look after the widows and the orphans. That refrain is all the way through Scripture and all the way through the New Testament and beyond as well. Because widows and orphans were in vulnerable places where people would prey on them, prey on their vulnerabilities and so on. And still, how is that today for us? Who will look after me? Who will care for me? How will life be if it all goes suddenly and dramatically wrong? We're in a Christian community where there is care, there is love, and there is compassion. I was watching the VE Day 80 commemoration through the week, Thursday evening. Maybe you saw it as well. Maybe you were watching it. Incredible, wasn't it? Strange collection of artists and other things. What the darkness have quite to do with that, I wasn't quite sure. But there were some incredible and powerful stories from people's experiences of the end of the Second World War. Hallelujah, Liberation Day. This terrible thing has stopped. But I was struck by some of the evacuees' stories. Two or three of the very elderly women now were talking about their experience as they'd gone in trains to the countryside from the city of London. And one woman had a terrible experience. Knocked the door, whoever was there, this is where you're going to be staying now for the next wee while. Went in, and the person there was very cold, very hard, very strict. No compassion, no love, which left them feeling absolutely undone in themselves. Didn't want to ask where the toilet was, age 5, wet the bed, that was the worst thing possible. And before you know it, she's packed off back to London. That really struck me in your time of need. That was the kind of circumstance, that was the attitude, that was the behaviour that you faced, that you felt, that you were involved in and with. And how different to the other person's experience. You'd gone and found a sister for life in the house she'd stayed in. She stayed in a house that were loving and caring and welcoming. And she found, only child, found another child in that house whom became great friends, almost forever. Great friends that day that had lasted a lifetime and more. And you could see the joy beaming and just that sense of a life well lived together, meeting up occasionally whenever and how. But you could see that beaming from them. This group of people Dorcas is working with were vulnerable. Constant struggle to eat, to drink, clean clothes, a place to live, to be making sure that they weren't taken advantage of. But they were lucky in a sense, so there was providence. Dorcas was there, caring for them. Maybe she'd come through the same circumstances in life herself. She seemed to be a woman who could work really well with her hands, making clothes that could be sold to create income, to create community and more. But she put her faith into action, devoted her time to doing good works. And it's difficult. Life seems ever more difficult, doesn't it? Everything's expensive, doesn't quite feel affordable. Everything you do is a challenge. I tried to change something. Having moved house from Edinburgh to Andover, in the process of changing a utility, goodness me, you think you were asking for the crown jewels. How many phone calls did I have to take? Number 1 for this, number 2 for that, number 24. 20 minutes later, I'd almost thrown the phone off the wall, and the world is hard, it's difficult. How do we support one another in those places? Dorcas did good things. She did good works for the people around her. She was a follower of a Jesus. She'd found the good news. She was making clothes. Perhaps it was a little sewing bee working together to build something bigger in the world around her. But she took time to come alongside, to spend time, to be with, to care, and all of those things. Here you can imagine the devastation. And suddenly Dorcas dies. Goodness, oh, what do we do now? I spoke to 2 or 3 people this morning who remember very fondly the people who have been absolutely stalwarts in your congregation over time, who you've lost in the past few years. That kind of person, those kind of people, being, doing, getting involved. Absolutely devastating. What were they going to do? How would this continue? How would they survive? And then this incredible little story shapes itself. Call Peter, call for Peter. And what you're getting in this story is echoes of Peter, the power of the Holy Spirit, but the power of God at work, bringing a new thing into the world, bringing a new thing to pass. Peter comes. He says, whoa, goodness, this is hard, eh? What are we going to do here? I can say a prayer for you. Peter prays. Well, goodness, what did he pray? How did he pray? His heart was in his mouth. Who knows? But he said, pray the words Jesus had prayed. Because he was there at the time when Jesus was with the little girl who had died. Talitha cum, Tabitha, Dorcas, get up, get up. It's not your time yet. Get up, there's more to do. Boom, you're in the place of Lazarus. You're in the place of those fantastic biblical stories where the life-healing power of God Jesus comes to pass. Boom! A mystery, an absolute mystery. But everything changes. Dorcas gets up. Peter helps her to her feet. And together they help one another on the journey. Something of the eternal breaking into life today. And something of life today breaking into the eternal. God can change everything. Whatever those things are, you need to be changed. God can shape change in our life. It's the start of Christian Aid Week this week. And they have a strapline. We believe in life before death, don't we all? But as you grow older, it's harder, isn't it? I can't do what I did 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 years ago. I've got a little thing going on just now. It's a, whether it's a sciatic thing or a back pain thing or a something, I'm not quite sure. But I've never had that in my life, and it's agony. And every day is a bit of a challenge sometimes. A scan will come in the next few weeks. I'll see a doctor. Hopefully we'll get to the bottom of it. But you can't quite do what you used to be able to do. So it's a bit more difficult rejoicing in the life you want to live and so on. But we believe in life before death. Life in all of its fullness. Yeah, that kind of fantastic verse in John. I am come that they might have life in all its fullness. Are you feeling the fullness of life today? Are you feeling the bounty of God in your life, whatever that is? I've shared some of my story because I feel incredibly blessed to have a grandchild and a second one on the way. I feel incredibly blessed to be in the circumstance I'm in, working as I work, shaping life for soldiers, for chaplains and the world around us. There is fullness in there. There's challenge as well. Life is challenging. It is not easy. But God says, I'll draw alongside you. I'll be there to soothe your aches and soothe your pains along the way. And ultimately, when we all surely will get to that place in heaven, ultimately it'll be fine. There'll be no more thirsting, there'll be no more hurting, there'll be no more pain, there'll be no more sense of loss or all of those things, because we're in the nearer presence, the fuller presence of God, His bounty, His beauty, His peace and more. And whenever you feel something of the peace of God, whatever that, just a beautiful and caring and loving thing. That's what God asks us. You'll give some of that, share some of that bounty, that beauty, that fullness, the best of yourself with the people in the world around you. And those little things make such a big difference. Don't the little things people do for us make such a big difference? Not the bit, the little things, some of the little things where everything changes. Someone stops a little, spends 5 minutes when you just need someone to chat to. Someone's there to help you, maybe do a bit of shopping. Whatever those things are, it's those little things that continue to shape change in our lives. And it's in those little things that God's movement and action can often be. The glory of God, a human being fully alive. May I bless you with the knowledge of God's peace, God's love, God's compassion, God's grace, God's glory today and forever. And as you leave, may you know something, that your aches are soothed and your pains are just a little bit easier to bear, because God is with us and God is for us. And ultimately, all will be well, because God is good all the time. My home church in Dunoon, we've got a new minister, Evaristo Munzunzwe from Zimbabwe, and he's fantastic. Sees the world in a beautiful and faithful kind of way. And it was just reminding us that fantastic African phrase. And it's difficult to hold on to sometimes, because it might feel like often God is absent rather than present in the difficulties of the world around us. But that wonderful African phrase. And he comes from a family that knew poverty and nothing in their life. Came to ministry and life changes. Has come here and life changes again. But he said, you know, God is good. An African response is, all the time. Whatever your circumstance, God is good all the time. That can shape deep change in us and for us, wherever we are, whoever we are, whatever the journey is. But may you know the glory of God bringing you fullness of life, for the glory of God is a human being fully alive. Amen.